Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter known as 1 Corinthians, written by St. Paul by inspiration, the 9th chapter beginning with the 24th verse. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Last week over spring break, I was in Texas and down in the area of Dallas just for fun. On our way back to the airport, I stopped by the brand new Dallas Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas. It was built not too many years ago, $1.2 billion, seats about 80,000 people. I just stood out in the parking lot and looked at it. It has a TV screen in it that is almost twice as long as this sanctuary. How'd you like that in your man cave? Our culture's love for sports and athletics borders on insanity sometimes. It certainly can be at least sickening, but sometimes seems insane. But it was actually not too different than maybe it was in a lot of cities in the ancient world as well at the time of St. Paul. The grand opening of the new Colosseum in Rome, built roughly in 70 or so AD or soon thereafter, seated up to 80,000 spectators for some events, so about the same size as that stadium in Texas. And the great inaugural weekend when they had the grand opening of the Colosseum, athletic hunters came out with various weapons and chased around and hunted down and killed over 9,000 animals. It was such a big event that commemorative coins were minted to mark this special opening of the Colosseum. And so in St. Paul's day, athletic competition was very commonplace, just as it is around us today. And large crowds would gather to watch these great events. Nearly every major city that was touched by Hellenism built a large stadium of some sort. And so when St. Paul is drawing upon the imagery that we have in the text before us today of athletes and people competing, this is something that would have been very much around and in the minds and eyes of his hearers, his readers in Corinth. It's interesting when you go into locker rooms, probably true in our locker rooms on our campus too, coaches will often put up special sayings that will try to encourage the athletes toward the goal and the prize of having a good season and success and victory. St. Paul is really doing that for us, using that concept for us regarding our spiritual lives and our faith today. And he wants us to compete in the race of holding on to Christ in such a way that we win the prize of heaven. It's as if he's saying, approach your spiritual life with the same level of intensity that an athlete does. Devote yourself and everything about yourself and your life that will help you win the prize of heaven. Focus. Sometimes your coaches say, focus. This is kind of St. Paul's shot at us in our spiritual lives. Focus. The prize of heaven, of course, has already been won and purchased for us through the blood of Christ our Savior. Paul isn't using this imagery of a race to give us any sense or idea that somehow we have to earn heaven by the things that we do and the life that we live and how good we are. We all know clearly from the rest of Scripture and even in our own consciences how impossible that would be because of our weakness and our sinfulness. But Christ our Lord has already purchased and won the prize for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And you and I now possess this by faith. And what Paul is doing for us is using the imagery of an athlete who is so focused on making sure to get that prize that we now retain this faith and finish out our lives all the way to the end with Christ in our hearts that we may ultimately see heaven. There's a danger of falling into a kind of a lapse of false security. And I think that's especially true for maybe those of us that have really been blessed to have the Christian faith in our lives all the way back for generations. Sometimes because it's just been so prevalent around us and we've been blessed with Christian education and we've got Christianity all around us all the time and Christian friends, sometimes we can kind of, if you will, rest on our laurels. We can kind of lose our intensity about Christ. We can kind of just go into a coasting mode, just saying the right words and kind of doing the right things and yet maybe slowly having our love of heaven and our Savior kind of drift away out of our hearts. I know that's certainly true for myself. Paul reminds his readers in other places, to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. Paul is telling us about his own spiritual life here that his biggest personal opponent, his biggest athletic opponent in this race is himself, his own body. He says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Think of that. Even someone who preaches this and teaches it to others needs to be concerned about their own spiritual life, needs to be concerned that they don't lose the very prize they're helping others to get. That just shows the power of our sinful flesh and the dangers that we have in our own hearts and minds as well. There's a struggle and a battle, a contest that is going on, being waged right inside of the heart of every Christian. And our sinful human nature is battling to get us to kind of give up in this race. So Paul says he must discipline his body and bring it into subjection. The Holy Spirit is using Paul's words here to stir up an intensity in us, to stir up a renewed zeal and desire to focus again on the prize of everlasting life in heaven. I'm just amazed sometimes at the things that certain athletes will do in their focus to win. We just had the Olympics again, the Winter Olympics recently, and some of the stories that you hear of families who will actually uproot from one state and move to another place, take on different jobs and make great sacrifices so their 16-year-old can go and work out every day at an athletic training center. People that have sacrificed careers and sacrificed friendships, sacrificed many things. In the NFL, there was a football player for the San Francisco 49ers years ago named Ronnie Lott. In 1985, he had his small finger stepped on during a play, and it crushed it. And it didn't heal for a couple weeks. And he finally told the doctor to amputate it because he didn't want to stay out any more games. The focus and intensity that some athletes can have is sometimes overwhelming. Bishop Locke from the old Norwegian church said this, those who compete in contests train themselves to be fit, and they willingly refrain from sensual pleasures that could make them unfit, all to win just a wreath that withers. We have an imperishable crown waiting. So where do I go to find help for myself in this race so that I can retain this prize of heaven? Should I go to the world? Should I go to the devil and those who represent him? Should I go to all those people out there in my life that want to discourage me in this race? May God direct us to seek help from those who want us to win, who want us to get the crown. Let us go to Christ, to his word and sacrament. Let us go to his assistants, his coaches that help us in the ministry, pastors and teachers who guide us. Let us go to the previous champions who are now enjoying the glory through their readings that encourage us in this faith. And let us go with the fellow members of his church who likewise want to help us in our training, because the prize is worth the effort. Amen. Please rise. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen.